This basically is this the scenario against which I think we should view much of this satanic cult activity in as much as it relates to the U.S. national security establishment. Now, again, I think much of the bloody activity, the drinking of blood, the mutilation, the physical mutilation may very well serve to condition members of these cults in a fashion very similar to the way in which those U.S. naval assassins were recruited and trained and desensitized. Again, that comes from Radio Free America show number 5, and the name of the book from which that comes is Operation Mind Control by Walter H. Bowart, B-O-W-A-R-T, published in softcover by Dell, copyright 1978. That was the book from which Nip and I were reading right there. Another context against which I think we can view some of these satanic cults may be viewed against the background. I think we can view them intelligently against the background of the SS training centers in Nazi Germany. Now, again, against this discussion should be seen also against the broader background of a couple of things. Obviously, we have taken a look in the past at the profound influence of the Third Reich on the growth of the U.S. national security establishment, the growth, the incorporation of thousands of SS and Gestapo veterans into our intelligence system under the auspices of the Gehlen Organization, the Nazi Eastern Front intelligence organization, which jumped to the CIA at the end of the war. Also Project Paperclip, under which thousands of Nazi war criminals went to work for the United States in our defense industries, people like Wernher von Braun, a major in the SS, and others being notable examples. One of the things that was done in the SS training schools for the Waffen-SS in particular, all of the SS, but in particular those who were going to be executioners or soldiers, not just those who were functionaries of other types, and there were SS bureaucrats as well, but they were put through a rigorous training program in which they were toughened themselves and hardened to violence. And I think it's useful to examine the SS training against the background of the satanic cults. Bear in mind also, as we looked at in The Ultimate Evil Part 1, the inner core of Nazism itself sprang from an occult religious philosophy. Many of the top Nazis belonged to organizations like the Thule Gesellschaft, a pan-German occult group with very strong connections to the national security establishment of Weimar Germany. Others belonged, there was a strong occult group within the SS. Himmler himself was an occultist. Again, the occult aspects of Nazism are one of the most important things to study in terms of understanding the mentality of the people involved. We went into that at considerable length in The Ultimate Evil Part 1. We're going to take a look at Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino's practicing not only of satanic religion vis-a-vis his Temple of Set, but also his affinity for Nazi occult ritual, in particular some of the Nazi occult rituals that were practiced by the SS. We're going to go into that in just a couple of minutes. But again, in a vein similar to that, no pun intended, to the training of the assassins that we just looked at, and bear in mind, you know, the eating of flesh, the drinking of blood and so forth, the mangling of bodies, which takes place in some of these satanic rituals. I'm going to read you a short section about the training of a Waffen-SS man. This comes from a book called The Black March. It's by an SS veteran named Peter Neumann, last name N-E-U-M-A-N-N. Published in soft cover by Bantam Books, copyrighted 1958 in its first edition. I'm going to read you a short section of the training that Peter Neumann and his SS comrades received at Sonthoven, one of the SS training grounds in a castle, or one of the SS Ordensburgen, as they were known. Again, reading from The Black March by Peter Neumann. And again, the process of acclimating people to violence and death by way of making them tough for future use by the national security establishment is the dominant consideration here. Again, from The Black March by Peter Neumann. Fresh instructions must have arrived from Berlin. The training is getting more and more tough, cruelly tough. Since September, the number of accidental deaths has risen to 32. As at Vogelsang, the Sonthoven Cemetery is slowly filling up with little flower-strewn graves. The weak must go to the wall here. Only those who survive will have the right to form part of the National Socialist elite. When an instructor blows a blast on his whistle, we have to start building dugouts, which must be completed within a given time. By the way, let me interrupt here. What they're doing here when they say dugouts, that basically means foxholes. What they're doing here is going through a training exercise in which a number of these young SS men have to dig. They're given 20 minutes to dig into the ground with a bunch of Mercedes-Benz armored cars revving up their engines in front of them. After 20 minutes, the cars start for them, and the SS men have to dig sufficiently deep into the earth to avoid getting killed. And as we're going to see, some of them don't make it. That's the exercise here. As at Vogelsang, the Sonthofen Cemetery is slowly filling up with little flower-strewn graves. The weak must go to the wall here. Only those who survive will have the right to form part of the National Socialist elite. When an instructor blows a blast on his whistle, we have to start building dugouts, which must be completed within a given time. There are about a dozen of us, each of us with a spade. We all start to dig like lunatics, because in front of us there are 10 Benz armored cars waiting, their engines slowly ticking over. We have 20 minutes to dig the hole which will shelter us, which will save our lives. It's every man for himself. We aren't comrades anymore. My eyes fixed on my spade, which seems ludicrously heavy, I toss up huge lumps of earth. Slowly the hole widens. Too slowly. Horribly slowly. My palms are beginning to hurt. The skin is torn from my fingers by the rough handle of the spade. Never mind, I must dig and dig and dig. I can hear the revving up of an engine over there, a sinister and menacing sound. This is it. They're moving off, advancing straight ahead. The drivers have been ordered to take no notice of anybody clumsy or foolhardy enough to get in the way. Inexorably, they thunder toward our foxholes. With wild shouts, the boys jump into the holes they have dug, burrowing into the earth, burying their faces against the damp clay. In front of me, like some monster in a nightmare, the Benz lumbers forward, its engine roaring, apparently swaying from side to side. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger still. They're past now. Of course, some of our chaps are killed, but none are cowards. Thus do we learn courage at the risk of our lives. And as he said earlier, the weak must go to the wall here. Only those who survive will have the right to form part of the National Socialist elite. So again, I think some of the brutalizing and violent features of some of these satanic rituals are to be borne in mind here. And again, this should be seen against the background of the Galen organization, against the background of the occult elements of Nazism in general that we looked at in The Ultimate Evil, Part 1. It's worth bearing in mind, too, that Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino of the Temple of Set was very fond of Nazi occult ritual. He performed quite a few of those things, and he also was a specialist in mind control. We're going to go into a section of The Ultimate Evil right now. This by way of reviewing the Temple of Set. We're going to return to some fresh articles, perhaps dealing with the Temple of Set. Some of them definitely dealing with it. But I think it may be worth reviewing some aspects of the Temple of Set and some of the activities of Michael Aquino against the background of what we've just been looking at. So, my apologies to those people who don't have time to change their tape cassettes. We're operating under some severe time limitations tonight. We got started a little bit late, so we're going to go ahead and play some sections from an archive tape which is on permanent file with Archives on Audio. That is The Ultimate Evil, Mind Control, Satanism, and the U.S. National Security Establishment. Bear in mind the section of the Black March that I just read you, where some of the procedures used for hardening SS recruits to the process of death are being used. Reflect on some of these satanic cults, perhaps, as functioning in an analogous fashion. And again, this might seem to be sort of a leap for some people, too much of a leap, but when looking at Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, a mind control specialist with a top secret clearance who's fond of SS occult ritual and had in fact performed some of these rituals in the Wevelsburg, Ordensburgen in Germany, I don't think we're ranging too far afield, and I think we need to bear some of these things in mind. So again, we're going to go directly to this tape segment, The Ultimate Evil, Part 1. Now, this first article, research credit goes to Mae Brussel. This article was not in my copy of the San Francisco Examiner. It is from the San Francisco Examiner of November 2nd of 1987. That's last Monday. When Mae Xeroxed this for me, she didn't Xerox off part of the title. The title of the article says something to observers, Presidio Satanist, a scary enigma. And the article is by Ivan Sharp, and it's a special to the Examiner. Again, I don't have the whole title, but it's from the San Francisco Examiner of November 2nd, 1987. That's a Monday. It's by Ivan Sharp, S-H-A-R-P-E, a special to the Examiner. Most of the title reads, to observers, Presidio Satanist, a scary enigma. It's not the full title, so again, be aware of that as you, for those of you who would eventually look this up in a library. The article reads, his pale face and eyebrows that stab upward like the horns of the devil and shiny black hair shaped into a prominent widow's peak over his forehead make Michael Aquino, that's spelled A-Q-U-I-N-O, just like Corazon Aquino, make Michael Aquino look more like a 1930s actor playing Dracula than what he claims to be, Satan's earthly lieutenant, the Prince of Darkness. He was a wacko to many who saw him at the Presidio Officers Club wearing a black shirt and clerical collar with a satanic medallion around his neck. To those who know Lieutenant Colonel Aquino as one of the Army's experts on psychological warfare, he is more of a scary enigma. Let me read that last sentence again. To those who know Lieutenant Colonel Aquino as one of the Army's experts on psychological warfare, he is more of a scary enigma. Police, the FBI, and the Army have long been curious about the activities of the high priest of the Satanic Temple of Set, a man who believes he is the second beast of Revelation. The August 14th police search of his Russian Hill home, in connection with the Presidio child abuse case, gave a more serious tilt to the Aquino mystery. Aquino and his wife Lilith, a former New York coven leader of the Church of Satan, have not been arrested since the 3.5-year-old stepdaughter of a Presidio assistant chaplain identified the couple as the Mikey and Shambi, who allegedly molested and photographed her in a black-walled room with a cross on the ceiling. And again, I repeated part of that sentence. Aquino's wife Lilith, a former New York coven leader of the Church of Satan, potentially a very important connection, and we'll talk about that at the end of the article. Continuing. However, authorities confirmed that there is an investigation and that the Aquinos are still suspects. Until last July, he was a full-time student, skipping down in the article, by the way, until last July, he was a full-time student at the Pentagon's National Defense University in the District of Columbia. That is considered a distinction for a reserve officer. Quote, the United States just paid me the highest honor it could by sending me to that post, and then to return to my home and have this, the police raid, happen to me is just unbelievable and outrageous, unquote, Aquino said in a telephone interview. By all accounts, Aquino apparently has had a dazzling Army career. He was a psychological warfare officer in Vietnam, earning the Bronze Star, Air Medal, and Army Commendation Medal. He also qualified in the Airborne, Special Forces, and Intelligence fields, graduating on the Commandant's list from the Command and General Staff College, and wrote ROTC textbooks. He retired from the regular Army in 1972 to try his hand as a stockbroker, but returned to active duty as a reserve officer a few years later. Aquino now is a staff officer with a top-secret clearance at the Army Reserve Personnel Center in St. Louis, after serving 5 years at the Presidio, coordinating active-duty tours and reserve training. I'll read that last sentence again. Aquino now is a staff officer with a top-secret clearance at the Army Reserve Personnel Center in St. Louis after serving 5 years at the Presidio coordinating active-duty tours and reserve training. Quote, he is a competent, capable officer, unquote, said Colonel Ben Waller, a 6th Army spokesman, when questioned last year about the Army's probes of Aquino in his Temple of Set. Set, by the way, is S-E-T. A San Francisco police query prompted an Army review of his top-secret clearance. However, confidential Army documents show that not only was Aquino's status reaffirmed, but that he was promoted from major to lieutenant colonel a year before he left the Presidio in July of 1986 to study in the district. The Army says Aquino's devilish appearance and weird fantasies are protected by the First Amendment. Quote, we're dealing with a man's religious beliefs, and if that's the way he wants to practice them, that's up to him, Waller said. However, city police intelligence memos obtained by the Examiner indicate that as long ago as 1981, authorities were noting the Temple of Set's obsession with Hitler's Nazis, that Aquino claimed to be reporting directly to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and that a number of Temple of Set Satanists were in military intelligence. Let me repeat this last sentence again also. However, city police intelligence memos obtained by the Examiner indicate that as long ago as 1981, authorities were noting the Temple of Set's obsession with Hitler's Nazis, that Aquino claimed to be reporting directly to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and that a number of Temple of Set Satanists were in military intelligence. Aquino proudly shows visitors to his Leavenworth Street home a ritual dagger once owned by a World War II SS general, and boasts about a ritual he performed in the Hall of the Dead at Wabelsburg Castle in West Germany during a 1982 tour of European NATO bases. During World War II, the Westphalian Castle was an occult sanctuary for Himmler's SS elite. Skipping down, even his admirers and some former Temple of Set members admit that Aquino has some odd quirks. He once urged the Pentagon, in a controversial psychological warfare study entitled Mind War, to overwhelm enemies by mobilizing every means of domestic and foreign propaganda, including brainwashing the U.S. public. He argued, quote, "In mind war, there is no substitute for victory," unquote. Aquino explained, again quoting, "The mind war scenario, which could be used sensationally in a couple of contexts, was a theoretical paper which was circulated within military academic circles. The mind war paper is not a product of Satanism. It's not a product of the temple. It's a military and psychological question," unquote. And again, skipping down, at the very least, Aquino, who until last year taught political science at Golden Gate University, he holds a doctorate in the subject from UC Berkeley, and once was national commander of the Eagle Scout Society, is seen as an eccentric who never outgrew his childhood fantasies. And again, I'm going to repeat that last sentence. That's intriguing that, I won't repeat it, but just take note of the fact that Aquino taught political science at Golden Gate University. Again, skipping down, Aquino's satanic fantasies were first stirred in 1968, when as a newly commissioned second lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne Division, he went to see Mia Farrow being ravished by Satan in the movie Rosemary's Baby. By chance, the show was attended by a sinister-looking, shaven-headed man wearing a black cloak, Anton Zandor LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan and technical advisor to Roman Polanski, the movie's producer. Again, I'm going to repeat that last sentence because we're going to go into the Polanski connection at some length here. By chance, the show was attended by a sinister-looking, shaven-headed man wearing a black cloak, Anton Zandor LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan and technical advisor to Roman Polanski, the movie's producer. The man's name, by the way, Zandor is S-Z-A-N-D-O-R. LaVey is capital L-A, capital V-E-Y. Continuing with the article, Aquino became a devoted Church of Satan priest at a time when LaVey was performing elaborate black masses using naked women as altars in his black-painted San Francisco home. Aquino and other priests split from the Church of Satan in 1975 because LaVey began selling priestly promotions. Aquino realized with horror that LaVey did not really believe in the devil. So in a diabolical coup, Aquino ousted LaVey as the devil's lieutenant and assumed the powers of the Prince of Darkness. Well, there are a number of very important things to bite on in this article. First of all, the fact that Aquino's wife Lilith is described here as a former New York coven leader of the Church of Satan is intriguing. If indeed she was a prominent New York Satanist, there's a very strong possibility that she intersects with one of the various wings of the Process. Now, the Process is the satanic Nazi umbrella cult, which is implicated very strongly in not only the David Berkowitz killings, the Son of Sam killings in New York, but also the depredations of the Manson family out here in California. And again, it remains to be seen indeed whether Lilith hooks up with the Process people in New York, but there's a strong, strong possibility. Bear in mind that the Process, as we described, has explicit Nazi trappings and ideology, among other things. And then the Satanism is still a further derivation of this. As we're going to look at, there's a strong intersection between satanic philosophy and Nazism. And it remains to be seen, and I think should be investigated, whether or not Lilith intersects with the New York Process people. Now, another thing that's very, very interesting here is the fact that Aquino, in addition to being obviously very, very highly connected, he has a top secret clearance. He is described here as having reported directly to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, coordinated a number of different positions or occupied a number of different positions within the U.S. National Security Establishment. His specialty is psychological warfare and intelligence work. Now, one of the things that we had speculated about in our discussions of the Process attendant on the Ultimate Evil was we speculated about the Process, quote-unquote, essentially being another one of our National Security Establishment's mind control programs. The Satanism, again, being a cover for more mundane activities, albeit horrible activities. We also speculated about many of the grisly activities of the Satanists, drinking blood, mutilating, and sacrificing animals and people, as being analogous to, and perhaps a further development of, the military's programs of programming people to kill by exposing them to increasing levels of violence. In Radio Free America number 5, we took a look at the habit of the National Security Establishment of taking people to be trained as assassins and showing them movies of people being mutilated in accidents or circumcision rites in aboriginal cultures, and gradually acclimating them to greater and greater degrees of violence and bloodshed. One of the things that we speculated about in connection with the process is that indeed the process represented just such an insidious mind control front. Aquino's background here in psychological warfare and intelligence certainly would indicate that that assessment is not necessarily inaccurate, shall we say. And again, I will repeat something that I said last week. I have no doubt whatsoever that there are many, many people within our national security establishment who would find this kind of activity horrifying and disgusting and wouldn't stand for it for a minute. As we're going to see, it's equally obvious, though, that there are people who are not at all disturbed by this kind of activity, and that's something we're going to go into at considerable length. Now, we should take note of the fact that there are reports that, as it says here, a number of Temple of Set Satanists were in military intelligence, because child molestation is apparently becoming rampant at Army daycare centers around the country and around the world. The Army has more daycare centers than anyone else in this country, and apparently child molestation is a growing and ongoing problem there. It's we're going to take a look at that, and one of the things that we should hearken back, again, as we looked at with regard to the process, the Nazi satanic occult cover for the Manson family and David Berkowitz activities, among others, that among the things they were into was kiddie porn, sexual rituals involving children and young women, as well as prostitution, drug dealing, murder for hire, and other activities. The consideration here that there may be other Temple of Set Satanists in military intelligence is worth thinking about against the background of child molestation at U.S. military bases. Now, the explicit Nazi connections here are obviously very disturbing. We're going to talk about the occult origins of Nazism later in the broadcast, and specifically we're going to go into some specific angles of the Nazi occult connections and ones that are very relevant here. One of the things that we're going to focus on right now concerns the connection of the Temple of Set with Anton Zandor LaVey. Now, recall that that Michael Aquino got his start as a Satanist by being a devotee of Anton Zandor LaVey's Church of Satan. Then eventually he broke with Anton Zandor LaVey, who, interestingly enough, was described as not really believing in Satan. Recall that vis-a-vis the process, that's one of the things we had said in the past, is that Satanism here is really more of a cover. Occult groups have long been used by intelligence services, and one wonders, given some of LaVey's connections, whether or not he really himself is working for the intelligence community. Aquino, however, who we know is a military intelligence specialist and psychological warfare specialist, has indeed assumed the mantle of the San Francisco branch of Zandor LaVey's organization. And again, the Temple of Set, a spin-off of the LaVey organization. Now, one of the interesting things here is that Aquino met by chance, he says. I question whether it was really a chance meeting. He met Anton Zandor LaVey when both happened to be viewing a movie about Satan named Rosemary's Baby. Now, in that movie, basically, the character played by Mia Farrow gets impregnated by Satan in an occult ritual, and that basically gives rise to the Antichrist, etc., etc. And the movie was produced by Roman Polanski, and in this section here, Anton Zandor LaVey is described as the advisor to Roman Polanski for the film. Now, this is intriguing here because this also presents a hard intersection with the Temple of Set milieu with the milieu involved in the Manson killings in Southern California. And again, in The Ultimate Evil, the Manson family is indeed a branch of the Process umbrella cult. It should be noted that the Process has fed very successfully off of other occult groups and, quote, New Age activities, unquote. And it involves, the process should be thought of as an umbrella organization, something which encompasses a lot of other subdivisions, so to speak. We're going to take a look at some of the intersections of Roman Polanski's milieu with Satanism and occult-type activities right now. Again, we're going to take a look at the book, The Ultimate Evil, by Maury Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, published in hardcover by, and we'll get this here in a second, by Dolphin Books, a subsidiary of Doubleday and Company, copyright 1987. And the first section here, we're going to take a look again at Roman Polanski and some of his intersections with showbiz people and with Nazism. And bear in mind here that Anton Zandor LaVey is one of the people who was intersecting at the same time with Roman Polanski. He was advising Polanski in 68. 69, the Manson killings went down. We're going to talk about those in a second. Again, reading from The Ultimate Evil by Maury Terry. Among his many credits, Polanski directed the famous devil epic Rosemary's Baby for Paramount Pictures. Paramount's vice president of production, Robert Evans, who later was caught in a cocaine bust, was deeply involved in the film, deeply involved with the film and became closely acquainted with Polanski. At the time Rosemary's Devil Child was born, 67 and 68, Evans was back in Hollywood from a London assignment as head of Paramount's European production team. In Beverly Hills, Evans, Polanski, and Sharon Tate were friendly with John Phillips, songwriter and lead singer of the Mamas and Papas rock group. A decade later, Phillips would be an occasional visitor at the home of his friend Keith Richards, hidden away in Satanville. Phillips himself was leasing a house nearby in Connecticut at this time. He's talking about Keith Richards' home in Connecticut earlier in the book. In fact, a couple of paragraphs up, Keith Richards' intersection with a woman named Anita Pallenberg, intersection here should be taken quite literally, as also implicates not necessarily Keith Richards personally, but his milieu with Satanism. Anita Pallenberg was reliably reported to be a student of the, quote, black arts, unquote. And again, talking about the Polanski milieu and its intersection with satanic activities and the process cult, continuing here with Maury Terry's account. Phillips' late 60s relationship with Polanski and Tate was an intimate one. He was frequently in their company and was entertained in their rented Benedict Canyon home at 10050 Cielo Drive, scene of oncoming slaughter, on several occasions. In fact, both Phillips and Polanski have acknowledged that Polanski, while married to Tate, conducted a brief affair in London with Phillips' wife, Michelle, who also sang with the Mamas and Papas. This liaison transpired several months before Sharon Tate and four others were butchered by Charles Manson's killers in August of 1969. Because of his affair with Michelle, Polanski at first suspected an angry John Phillips was involved in the murders, to the point of holding a knife to his throat before slinging it into a wall. Ironically, Phillips has admitted to a passing acquaintance with Manson himself, to whom he was introduced by drummer Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. Manson and some followers even lived at Wilson's Sunset Boulevard estate for a time in 1968, before the friendship soured. Wilson subsequently occupied a slot on Manson's enemies list. I would interrupt, Dennis Wilson is now dead, having drowned, allegedly drunk, in 1983, I believe it was. Interestingly enough, we took a look not only at Wilson's death, but his intersection with Charlie Manson, but also the intersection of another member of the Mamas and Papas, the late Cass Elliot, with that other group. And again, an awful lot of the people who intersected with this group are no longer around. Manson moved easily in show business, returning now to The Ultimate Evil. Manson moved easily in show business circles and developed a close relationship with Terry Melcher, son of singer-actress Doris Day and the producer of her TV show and other ventures. Melcher, to Manson's great interest, was also a record producer, and Charlie was determined to make it big as a singer. He was anxious to ingratiate himself with Melcher, from whom Roman Polanski sublet 10050 Cielo Drive. That again, interrupting, that's the place where the Tate killings took place. Melcher, too, was acquainted with John Phillips. Returning to The Ultimate Evil, Melcher, too, was acquainted with John Phillips. And in tune with Phillips' association with Manson, author Ed Sanders reported that he uncovered information indicating Manson attended a 1968 New Year's Eve party at Phillips' Los Angeles home. Phillips, Sanders also said, apparently referred members of the process to a Los Angeles real estate operator named Artie Ahrens in 1968, when the English occultists were seeking to pitch tent in that city. Sanders obtained this information from Jonathan DePeyer, D-E capital P-E-Y-E-R, known as Father Christian to his fellow processans. There were also stories about, which held that Phillips contributed some cash to the process, with the reported amounts ranging from the $10 Phillips said he gave to, quote, some cult dressed in black, unquote, to a figure much higher. In any case, Father Christian said that with Phillips' recommendation, Artie Ahrens found lodging for a process contingent at a large home he managed at 1882 South Cochrane in Los Angeles. Neither Sanders nor I, that's Maury Terry speaking here, imply that Phillips was directly affiliated with the process. From all indications, his interests, by his own account, were elsewhere, music and drugs. But the interweavings and connections among people and events in the Son of Sam and Manson cases are provocative, especially in light of Manson II's alleged involvement in the 44 killings, the further contention that Charlie Manson belonged to the same satanic organization Berkowitz later joined, and the North Salem cult link to the Sam case. That's North Salem, Connecticut, which was the one of the areas in Connecticut of process and satanic slash Nazi activity. And again, I think the really important connections to focus on here are the probable intelligence connections and the Nazi connections. Returning to the ultimate evil. Investigating, Sanders heard only silence from those said to have attended the party. That's a party where some drug dealers were whipped, and we'll see about that in a second. Investigating, Sanders heard only silence from those said to have attended the party, whose roster apparently included John Phillips. But actor Dennis Hopper, quoted by an L.A. newspaper, did comment publicly on the matter. Quote, "They had fallen into sadism and masochism and bestiality, and they recorded it all on videotape, too. The L.A. police told me this. I know that 3 days before they were killed, 25 people were invited to that house for a mass whipping of a dealer from Sunset Strip who'd given them bad dope." Unquote. The party was held to honor French film director Roger Vadim, who was then married to actress and anti-war activist Jane Fonda. But at what point in the proceedings the alleged whipping taping occurred is unknown. However, Sanders reported that Sebring did bring undeveloped film to a photo lab on Wednesday, August 6th, and the Polanski maid was off the night before. The party then apparently occurred on Tuesday night, the 5th. On the night of the killings, as noted previously, a man named Joel Rostow, R-O-S-T-A-U, the boyfriend of an employee of Sebring's, that's Jay Sebring, one of the victims of the Sharon Tate massacre, delivered some drugs to 10050 Cielo Drive. Rostow would be murdered in New York about 15 months later, and another of Sebring's associates would be slain in Florida about a month after that. And again, we can add those two people to the hit list that we dealt with in the last section of our work with The Ultimate Evil. Continuing. The name of that game was Narcotics, not Helter Skelter. And then there was the subject of witchcraft, black hoods, and leather aprons. While it should be recalled that Frykowski and Folger were in temporary residence at Cielo Drive, it is known that British warlock Alex Saunders, who participated in a film Sharon Tate shot in England before her marriage, said he initiated Sharon into witchcraft. Saunders, who said he studied under master black magician Aleister Crowley himself, was connected to OTO and other cult activity in Britain. It is not known if he was involved with the process there, but Alex Saunders said he possessed photos of Sharon standing inside a ritual magic circle. Police denied that black hoods and leather aprons were found in the loft above the living room at 10050 Cielo Drive. However, Ed Sanders told me in July of 1985 that FBI sources informed him those items were indeed there, along with an inverted ace of spades, unquote, said to be a form of cultic life sign. Doris Tate, Sharon's mother, also said that a white cape was found in the house. And skipping down on the article, in the book The Ultimate Evil, in a 1987 interview with an associate of mine, Manson added a twist to the narcotics motive. "Don't you think those people deserve to die? They were involved in kiddie porn," he alleged, but didn't say just who in the Tate-LaBianca case he was referring to. And again, I think it's worth repeating here that, as indicated elsewhere in the book, The Ultimate Evil, Manson was simply acting on orders. Again, from that book, "The reason for this interest in the California and New York connections, New York connections case is simple. According to Vinny," that's one of the prison informants who helped break the story, "according to Vinny, Manson, too, was involved with the original Charles Manson. And more than that," Vinny said, quote, "when Manson had the Tate murders done, he was not just doing it out of some helter-skelter fantasy. That was part of it. He believed in that expletive deleted. But there was a real motive," Berkowitz told me. "He said Manson was working for somebody else when those crimes were committed. He said Manson," quote, "volunteered to do the killings for somebody else," unquote. And again, one of the things that we've spoken about here is the probability that there was much, much more to the killing of Sharon Tate and the others, Jay Sebring, Abigail Folger, Wojciech Frykowski, and others, than simply Satanism or anything else, although that may very well have been a part of it. Recall that Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski were instrumental in managing Robert Kennedy's campaign in the Los Angeles area. The night before Robert Kennedy was assassinated, he confided to them that he was going to wait till he was elected to break open his brother's murder. He was going to reopen the murder of President Kennedy. That, of course, was not to be, and indeed, Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski, had he been around, would not have been around very much longer to tell that tale. Sharon Tate certainly will never tell it. One wonders whether Roman Polanski is feeling a wee bit intimidated at this stage of the game also. It's worth noting here the connection of reported British warlock Alex Saunders, and again, I don't believe in witchcraft at all, however, these people do, and that's the important part, to a guy named Aleister Crowley. We're going to be talking about Aleister Crowley a little later in the broadcast, and Although he does not directly link up with Nazism, the occult groups, the satanic groups he was involved with, do link up with some of the same figures that gave rise to some of the Nazi occult groups, such as the Thule Gesellschaft. That's for a little later in the discussion. Now, one of the aspects of the San Francisco Examiner article about Michael Aquino and the Temple of Set that's most disturbing is the indication that, as that article said, other military intelligence people may be in the Temple of Set. One of the things we talked about last week, and we've also touched back on it here, was that kiddie porn and the making and the filming of kiddie porn appears to have been one of the activities of the Process umbrella cult. And the Process, by the way, is very closely affiliated with elements of Aleister Crowley's OTO. We're going to talk again. We're going to go into Crowley here in a little bit. An article in the San Jose Mercury News from Wednesday morning, November 4th of 1987, goes into the rash of child molestation cases being reported at Army daycare centers. And again, I think this should be examined against the background of information that other Temple of Set people, again, have backgrounds in military intelligence. Again, from the San Jose Mercury of Wednesday morning, November 4th, 1987, it's by Linda Goldston of the Mercury News, G-O-L-D-S-T-O-N, and it's headlined, Presidio Care Center First to Face Army Scrutiny. Stung by charges of sex abuse at more than one of every 10 of its daycare centers worldwide, the U.S. Army will begin a review of each daycare center it runs, beginning with the controversial Presidio of San Francisco operation. A special 16-member team from the Pentagon arrived Tuesday in San Francisco. As many as 60 children who attended the Presidio Center allegedly were sexually abused. A former daycare worker has been charged with abusing 10 children, and San Francisco police say they also are investigating possible involvement of a high-ranking Army officer who founded a satanic church. Although it may be one of the strangest, the Presidio case is only one in a string of sex abuse allegations at Army daycare centers. Since 1984, sex abuse cases have been reported at 26 of the 242 Army daycare centers throughout the world, including the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and Fort Dix in New Jersey. The Mercury News reported in August that parents from the Presidio and West Point believe the Army was trying to cover up sex abuse instead of making its daycare centers safe for children. A high-ranking congressional source Tuesday said special review teams will be sent to all Army daycare centers, including the one at Fort Ord near Monterey. No cases of sex abuse have been reported at Fort Ord. Quote, the Presidio is the first of what is to be an all-out effort to review all of the Army daycare centers, said the source who asked not to be named. The centers will be given 90 days to correct deficiencies or face closing. The Army, quote, has made this commitment to review each and every child care center, and we're going to make them stick to it, unquote, the source said, adding the Army, quote, can no longer say that West Point was an isolated case. At West Point, by the end of 1984, at least 50 children who had attended the daycare center there had been interviewed by investigators. A $110 million civil suit brought by parents of 11 children is pending against the Army. Presidio spokesman Bob Mahoney wouldn't discuss the review on Tuesday. There is a team coming from the Department of the Army, he said. That's all I know at this point. And again, much of this is to be put in our category of food for thought and grounds for further research, but I think one of the things we should think about as we look at the rash of reported child molestation at the Presidio is the possible connection, the report that other military intelligence people were in the Temple of Set. And again, the intersection between Anton LaVey and Michael Aquino in the Temple of Set, and in turn, the intersection of Anton LaVey with the whole Polanski milieu in Southern California is worth bearing in mind here. Apparently, child molestation and Satanism is a growing association in the United States, and the cases in the military are anything but isolated. Reading from the San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, November 5th of 1987, it's an article by Edward W. Lempinen, L-E-M-P-I-N-E-N. It's headlined, Satanism Linked to Scores of U.S. Child Abuse Cases. Satanism and cult rituals have been linked to scores of child molestation cases nationwide in the past 5 years, including dozens in California. Children as young as 2 and 3 years old have come forward with harrowing tales of drinking blood, animal sacrifices, and sexual abuse as part of rituals, according to law enforcement investigators, child abuse experts, and parents. Others have even talked of cannibalism and ritual sacrifice of children. After hearing similar tales over and over from people across the country, many investigators and child abuse experts now have come to believe in the unbelievable. It's a highly explosive issue, said Roberta Sachs, S-A-C-H-S, a psychologist at Rush Presbyterian St. Luke's Medical Center in Chicago, who has given therapy to dozens of people apparently abused in cults. Quote, it's filled with atrocities comparable to and greater than some of the concentration camp stories we have heard of.
There has been every kind of imaginable and unimaginable torture, unquote. That phrase, I think, is worth repeating against the background of the Nazi, explicit Nazi leanings of not only the process, but the Temple of Set as well. It's filled with atrocities comparable to and greater than some of the concentration camp stories we have heard of. There has been every kind of imaginable and unimaginable torture, unquote. In San Francisco, police confirmed last week that they are investigating reports by a 3-year-old girl who claimed that she was taken from a daycare center at the Presidio Army Base and driven to a home where she was molested by two men in costumes. Police suspect that the home was the headquarters of the Temple of Set, a Nazi satanic group, and they have listed the temple's high priest as a possible suspect. No arrests have been made. Investigators and parents have declined to give details of the cases of at least 58 children who attended the Presidio Child Development Center, fearing that they might jeopardize the prosecution of a former daycare worker. But in other cases across the nation, experts say there is striking evidence of ritualized sexual abuse that recurs in case after case. At West Point, New York, Army families have pressed an investigation into widespread child abuse at a military daycare center in 1983 and 84. One parent has charged that her daughter was, quote, involved in a satanic workshop where there was a marriage to the devil and a dog's tail and back paw was cut and burned in front of her, unquote. In therapy, the girl said that she had been drugged and molested by two teachers. In 1985, children who attended the McMartin Preschool in Manhattan Beach, Los Angeles County, said they were involved in rituals that included black-robed adults who chanted and killed animals on the altar. One of the pupils said she was forced to drink blood. Some children also alleged that a McMartin teacher cut the ears off rabbits to scare them. Investigators raided the home belonging to the girlfriend of one suspect and found a pair of rabbit ears, a black cloak, a black cape, and black candles. Despite the allegations, the prosecution's case has been discredited by defense attorneys, and more than 100 of the charges initially filed have been dismissed. In 1984 and 85, 19 Bakersfield children reported that they had been abused, and many of them told stories of animal sacrifice, blood drinking, and church service, church in quotes, with prayers to the devil. Eventually, 77 adults in Kern County were implicated by children. Investigators, however, were unable to substantiate the children's charges of Satanism. Law enforcement officials say other cases have been reported in Illinois and in Miami, Florida, El Paso, Texas, Omaha, Nebraska, Carson City, Nevada, and Sacramento. Skipping down in the article, Sandy Gallant, G-A-L-L-A-N-T, an intelligence officer with the San Francisco Police and one of the nation's most influential experts on cults, cautioned that many cases are proving unfounded. But she says there have been 60 to 70 solid, unquote, cases of ritual sexual abuse in the past few years nationwide. She and others have heard hundreds of children and adults, people who have never met and who live a continent apart, tell stories that are fundamentally the same. Quote, independently, the victims are describing incredibly similar circumstances, unquote, said Catherine Gould, a clinical psychologist in the Los Angeles district of Encino, who has counseled dozens of children who claim they were molested in rituals. Again quoting, they talk about animals being mutilated and killed and having to drink blood, unquote, said Detective Kurt Jackson, a nationally recognized cult expert with the Beaumont Riverside County Police Department. They talk about being put in boxes or coffins in mock burials. They talk about being forced to drink human urine and eat human feces. The biggest thing they have in common is that they say they are made to worship the devil, unquote. Gould, who is now counseling 20 children who apparently were involved in ritual abuse, regularly hears stories of cannibalism and child sacrifice. Many children report that they are photographed during the ceremonies, leading to the certainty among some experts that the rituals and sexual activities are sold for pornography and possibly used for blackmail. Repeating that last sentence. Many children report that they are photographed during the ceremonies, leading to the certainty among some experts that the rituals and sexual activities are sold for pornography and possibly used for blackmail.